We went back into the car where Brereton Beams sat holding a handkerchief full of snow against his head. He'd lit and trimmed a small oil lamp and hung it above a window for light.
Oh, sorry I wasn't able to help out there. I've been dizzy. Blurred vision. Gosh, I hope I won't be needing medical attention.
Think nothing of it. We knew you were hurt.
Because I would have been right there on a shovel, cheerfully doing my part. I hate a shirker. Or someone who constantly complains about doing their share.
I said, it's all right, Mr. Bean. If you're feeling better, we're all invited to dinner in Mr. Lara's dining car.
Oh, my. What an honor. What a truly gracious man to offer such hospitality after all that's happened here.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better after that bump on your head.
Well, thank you both for your help and concern. I hesitate to ask you this, but in the stir of things, I seem to have lost my wallet. I know someone found that dreadful pistol I have to carry. I hope you also saw my wallet lying about. Nothing of any importance in it to anyone except me. Only a letter from my precious daughter, Ellie. A photograph of my wife, Vera.
Haven't seen it.
Jack shrugged.
Oh, there might have been a couple of dollars in it. But I'd gladly consider that a reward for anyone who returned it.
Now hold it, Mr. Beam. I found your pistol. Shoved it in your waist, and that's that. Had I found your wallet, or if he'd found it, we would have put it back in your pocket. Are we clear on this?
I'm afraid I didn't handle that very well, did I? What I meant was, I know things happen. Things get misplaced. Sometimes, even with the best intentions, we forget.
Beam, we haven't seen your wallet. Now, without going into a long-winded spiel, just answer me yes or no. Do you think we have it?
He studied our eyes for a second, his eyes darting nervously from one of us to the other. He appeared to be sitting on straight pins. It must have been killing him to say just one word. Then he opened his mouth. I nearly jumped over Jack and into the floor before I realized it wasn't Beam's voice at all, but the sound of something huge, something monstrous and angry just outside the window beside me. I turned to the window. Glass crashed into my face. And something foul, smelling and hairy knocked me across the rail car. Once again, I was surrounded by a world of plaid. Beam atop me and Jack. Jack struggling to draw his pistol. The car rocked dangerously high on one side as I saw a bear paw bigger than any I'd ever seen. Claws the size of steel windshield spread out and ripped the back off the seat where I'd sat a second before.
God almighty!
Jack shoved Beam away, snatched out his pistol. We saw half the seat pulled out the window, and I stood there shaking, feeling my hat brim flutter like the wings of a bird. The rending and ripping of wood came from the direction of the stock car, followed by the whinnying of Jack's silver-gray gelding.
The horses, let's go!
And I raced with them along the aisle. A shot went past our heads as we jumped off the platform.
It's us, damn it!
We raced on, hugging close to the cars, trying to avoid the gunfire.
Stay down!
We ran on, our shoulders swiping past the car until we reached the stock car and hurled ourselves up the platform.
I missed him, boss. That damned idiot got in my way.
Inside the car, the gelding raced around, slamming the walls. Even in the dark, I saw the dark red blood dripping from its face and felt it splatter on my face as the silver gray slung its head. Jack leaped out and grabbed the gelding around the neck, wrestling it.
Easy, boy. Easy, boy.
Jack ran his hand along the horse's neck, soothing it. My black stallion, Buck, stood cringing, backed into the far corner of the car, but with no sign of cuts on him. I looked down at the wide rip in the side of the car, at long, deep scars in the wood floor where the big bear had made a snatch for the horses and missed.
Is he okay, Jack?
He ain't even cut. How's Buck?
I don't know yet. He won't let me near him. Where'd all the blood come from?
I looked all around the dark floor.
I don't understand it.
I do. It ain't horse blood we're looking at here. Take a look at this.
I walked over where the hole had been torn in the wall. I looked through down at the ground at dark pools of blood in the snow and at the mangled, shredded remains. of the man named Brace.
My God.
What do you say, Beatty? Was it a cocker spaniel that did all that?
Things ain't gonna get no better between us, are they, Eldon?
I rose up slowly from beside the mangled body, still staring down at it. The left arm, left shoulder, and half the chest were gone. Its eyes stood open, glassed over and blank. The neck snapped like a piece of kindling.
That's right, Angel Boy. Things won't get no better at all. You caused me to miss killing that bear, and if you hadn't been out there in the way, Brace would still be alive. So I owe you one. A bad one.
A bad one? You're crazy, Eldon. The bear got him before you ever stuck your head out.
I've had it with you. You and your cocker spaniel bullshit.
What are you talking about, Eldon?
Beatty here says a grizzly's the same as a flea-scratching mutt.
I looked up at Eldon. He spread a nasty grin and tapped a finger to his nose. I felt my hackles swell across my back.
Take a good look, Beatty. That's what a grizzly will do. This is no joking matter. Brace Denton was a good man.
Never said otherwise.
I was following the bear's tracks with my eyes in the glow of the lantern old Freddy the fireman held up. Blood lay thick and wide beneath the body. Red paw prints as big around as a water bucket led off along the cleared rails. They disappeared into the rock wall beneath the moonlight, the color of spun gold and coal dust.
You just as well have, going on about eating a dog and all that.
About what?
Lar glared at me as I took off my coat and hung it on one of the broken boards of his brand new stock car.
I don't know what the problem is between you two, but we've got plenty more to worry about here than who will or will not eat a dog for crying out loud.
One thing had nothing to do with the other.
Taking off my hat, I adjusted the dents in the crown and hung it beside my coat.
I'm sorry your man's dead, Colonel Lar, but it had nothing to do with what I said about bears.
The hell it didn't! Everything's got something to do with everything else, far as I'm concerned. You're getting in the way, killed Brace just as surely as that bear.
I shot Jack a glance, ran my hand in my back pocket beneath my wadded-up handkerchief.
Is Buck all right?
Yeah, he's fine. Just bloody and wild-eyed. Beam's all right, too. I think he's drying his trousers over the wood stove.
I looked up and grinned at Eldon as Jack and the others smiled at my little joke. Grim smiles owing to the circumstances. Eldon even made a flicker of a smile as I gazed at him, nodding my head. Then I snatched my hand out of my pocket, working my fingers, adjusting them. I spread my feet, crouched, snapped my shoulder back.